reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 7th verse. Bear all things, believe all things, hopes all things, endure all things. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Oh, my stars. Things are getting so exciting nowadays. There's so much to do. There's so many people to see. There's so many people to pray for. I do hope that your prayer life is all caught up. Every morning when you arise, you should go to your knees and talk to Jesus and tell him what you need. Thank him for what he's done for you. Ask him for precious souls for hire and also to give you holy boldness. Hey, listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea. In fact, I got a lemonade right here by the studio with me tonight. So let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Have your Bibles with you. Would you turn with me to Genesis, the first chapter? Let's begin reading with the 26th verse. Label this, "What's wrong with everybody?" Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, that over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he was created. He created him. Male and female, he created them. Well, listen. What is man? Well, this is one of life's most basic questions. Now, is man the product of millions of years of evolution? Is man a special creation of God? Well, what's wrong with everybody? The philosopher's question, the psychologist's question, the criminologist's question. But you know, folks, the Bible answers these important questions. Man was created in the image of God, and we read in 26 verse again. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and everything and the creepeth that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Well, listen, so God created man in his own image. Well, let me ask you this question. Let's look at Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Friend, did you know that man is a crowning work of God's creation? You know why he formed us in the first place? For fellowship. He sure enough did. See, God wanted a family, and you and I could be a part of that family until something terrible happened, and we know about that later. And then to have dominion over the earth. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That means snakes too. What is meant by the image of God? Well, like God, Adam had an intellect, emotion, and will. Listen, these are the requirements of manhood. Adam and Eve were without sin. They didn't have a belly button either. God placed Adam and Eve in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. May I have a little drink of lemonade? Thank you. My stars, that's good. Well, Adam fell through sin, marring the image, and I read in, and also in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made, and he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, for if you touch it, you shall die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Oh, my friends, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from the fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Friends, listen. Sin looks good to the eye. I don't care what anyone tells you. Sin does look good. Well, but there was one forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Listen, they had every fruit tree known unto man, every vegetable known unto man, every animal known unto man, and yet just one tree. That's all God said. Stay away from that tree, because if you do, you shall surely die. Well, the devil said, nah, that's not true. Listen, friends, anytime you start doubting the Bible, you better believe you're being tempted by the devil to doubt God. Anytime the devil can make God out a liar, he does, but God don't lie. Huh. How gracious and giving God has been. Adam and Eve chose to disobey the Lord. Yes, they did. And they're taking the forbidden fruit. The whole human race fell into sin. Everybody on this earth fell into sin just because of our grandparents, Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us in 3:10, we are sinners and act like it. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Well, experience teaches us that we are all sinners, and that's where the rub comes in. I've said this so many times, my dear wife, bless her heart. She could not believe that she was a sinner. She just couldn't believe it. She knew that I was, because I was a stinking alcoholic, but she wasn't. Did you know her self-righteousness was a sin? Because you're calling God, if you say you're not a sinner, but you're saying, God, you're a liar. But the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Newspaper headlines announce that we are sinners. Did you know, friends, the morning I was saved, I remembered the preacher was talking to me, trying to help me see that my need was Jesus. But you know, the one thing that I could not believe that Christ died for me. I could not believe that God would love a wretched sinner like me, you see. And I kept telling the preacher, God doesn't love me. He does not love me. He said, he does love you. And then he quoted John 3:16. He said, Cecil, God does not love your sins, but he loves you, a sinner. Boy, it was like a flashlight turned on in my head. No, he don't love my sins, but he loves me, a sinner. Why do you think Christ went to the cross of Calvary? To pay for our sins, though he himself was sinless. Crimes Deadly March screams that we are sinners. Oh, friends, as I know, for 35 years I have been going to state and federal prisons. I have preached in San Quentin. And I'm telling you, crime is in prison. That's why these people can't understand. I'd say to them, why can't you understand you're a sinner? You broke the law of God, and that's why you're here. But let me tell you, God's still willing to give you a second chance. That's amazing. Oh, my, that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. It's amazing that God would love us. Educations and legislations fail. Prosecutions and punishment fail. Doesn't it seem like the ungodly gets ahead? But the Bible said, don't envy those folks, because, my friend, that's all they're ever going to get. Through grace, the second Adam restores the image. Now, Adam's disobedience plunged us all into sin, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Disobedience of one man. Now, friends, listen. They could have had anything they wanted in that garden, any blessed, wonderful fruit. Hey, I love fruit. I don't like vegetables as much as I like fruit, but I have to eat vegetables because fruit, I got too much sugar there. But you know what? They could have had all that. And when she saw that tree, as I said, sin looks good to the eye. And she said, boy, oh boy, does that fruit look good. And when Satan said, hey, go ahead and try it, God lied to you, which he does not. God, my friend, does not lie. I won't argue the Bible with anyone because it's a waste of time. If God's Holy Spirit can't convict them of their sin, I guarantee Cecil Moe can. Well, therefore, the Bible says, Christ's obedience makes salvation available to all. And I read in Romans 5:18, so then as through one's transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now listen to that. Listen to that. By one man, just think of what Jesus did on that cross that day. Oh, my stars. His death redeems us. In Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. His resurrection guarantees that he lives to keep us. Did you know that? Romans 1:4, who were declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Had Jesus not came forth from the grave and conquered death and hell, you and I wouldn't have a thing to say. But he proved to the world that he had power over death. He had power over hell. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. Maybe tonight you are heavy laden. Maybe you think, oh, there's no hope for me. There's no hope for me. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. I didn't think there was hope for me as an alcoholic, but God proved me wrong. Oh, dear friends, if God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart or drawing your heart to Jesus, listen to him. You know what, beloved? The Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man whereby man must be saved. There's a possibility this will be the last time that God's Holy Spirit will draw your heart. That could be the very last time. Listen to him. Fall on your knees and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And repent, and he will give you eternal, everlasting life. Well, in Romans 1:4, he says, 7:25. Here also, hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. Did you know that? He lives forever, and he can always make intercessions for you. Let me have a little glass of this wonderful iced tea, lemonade. Does it sound good? Oh, it is good. See, God made those lemons. He made them because he knows I like lemonade. Yes, he does. God is a wonderful God and a holy, righteous God. And tonight, he's seeking you out. Now, the Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's looking for you right now. Don't hide. Come to him and say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready. The morning I was saved, friends, I knew I did not have another chance. I did not have another opportunity to turn from my sins. This was my day, and I was smart enough to listen to that preacher and God's Holy Spirit as he told me how much he loved me. His Spirit dwells within to enable us to live righteously. Oh, friends, you can't live without. You can't live a righteous life without Christ. You know what? The most dangerous thing there is in the world is a Bible in the hands of a fool. Did you know there's a lot of lost preachers preaching on television? All you got to do is turn your TV on and listen to some of those creeps. And they tell you, send $1,000, and you'll get all your children saved, and you'll be wealthy, and you'll have plenty of food. Friends, there is no guarantee that after you accept Jesus that you're going to have a life of milk and honey. There's no guarantee. In fact, he said you're going to suffer righteous. You're going to have problems. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have discouragement. But the secret is you don't have to go through it alone. But he's going to go with you. The purpose of God in creation is realized in salvation. Now it says in John 1:3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship through faith in Christ. Friends, you know, when we talk about our personal Savior, that's exactly what it is. Now, let me tell you something. I told you when I was 4 years old, I began to hear about the Lord. My mom and dad were Christians. We lived so far out in the country, they had a pipe sunshine. Didn't have churches like they do today on every street corner. Well, I knew there was a God, so I began to pray. What did I pray about? Well, first of all, I'd thank God for my horse, my pet chicken, my dog, my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters. I prayed and thanked him for them. But, you know, it was from my head. See, the devil believes that Christ was raised from the dead. He believes all that stuff, and he trembles. But he won't receive Christ. He's not going to receive Christ. Well, living in fellowship with God brings real joy, and I read in 1 John 4. And these things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. Oh, there's a song the little children sing. There's joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart where? Down in my heart to stay. And beloved, when you know Jesus, you'll have a joy. I won't promise you that you won't have heartaches. And I will not promise you won't have discouragements. Because if I did, I'd be a liar. So these preachers that are telling you to send money to them, and friends, let me tell you what, you can't, it doesn't enable grace to you to give the money. Now, the Bible has a plan of giving for all Christians. Very few Christians follow that program, and they wonder why they're always broke, and they wonder why they're always unhappy. It's just like, you know, people who get saved and never get baptized. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. Of course not. The thief on the cross didn't. He never got baptized. He never joined a church. He never heard another sermon. But he cried out to God, and Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. But listen, baptism is an act of obedience. It's telling the world that you've turned your life over to Jesus. That's what baptism, it depicts the death, burial, resurrection. You say, well, you people, your denomination really talks about baptism, not for salvation, but for obedience. Now, I'm going to give you an example. My wife, when I got saved and joined the church, so did she. She told them she was a Christian, and we got baptized together. The only thing was, she went down a center and come up a center. She had not repented of her sins. Many, two or three years later, or a year later, she said, well, Cecil, when you pastor your first church, I'll let you baptize me. I said, don't you put me in front of God. No, sir. I said, you need to be baptized scripturally, because you went down a wet center and come up one center. God began to deal with her heart. And one time in a church service in California, God's Holy Spirit said, Jean, you need to get baptized scripturally. And so she did. And you know what she told me? She said, Cecil, you know, I never could understand the Bible until I did what God asked me to do. Obedience is very important if you're going to serve the Lord. Giving is important if you're going to serve the Lord. Christ is the answer for what's wrong with everybody. Let me ask you, friends, where do you stand tonight? Let's say you're going to die tonight in a heart attack. Where are you going to go? Hey, did you ever have a heart attack? I tell you, it's an experience. Brother and sister, it is an experience. I got up to go to bed and I fell flat on my face, couldn't breathe. And boy, they rushed me at the hospital. So I know what a heart attack, and it hurts like you can't believe. Can't breathe. But the Lord pulled me through it. Why? Because he wanted me to tell you about Jesus tonight. If you're lost tonight, I want you to pray the most powerful prayer in the world. But I don't want you to pray it unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me tonight. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If you did that, get on the phone, call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. Won't embarrass you. Won't sit down and write to ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I've been doing this for all these years on broadcast, over 37 years of broadcasting. How many people have called and received Christ? I don't know. God knows. He's a bookkeeper, not me. He knows who's being saved. And if you can't afford to call, and you don't understand what I'm talking about, give me a call. I'll be glad to talk with you. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Let your love flow through me.
So many folks are lonely.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please pray for me and my wife as we go to prison and rescue missions, and pray for our ministry that will be a blessing, and our tape ministry and my movies that I send out and books I send out, hundreds of them over the past years. And we at the prison, they just eat those books up like they're going out of style, and I thank the Lord for it. Well, listen, I want you to stay sweet, keep looking up, because, you know, he's coming back again. Oh, yes, he is. Then may God bless you real, real good. Good night.